Members, we would love to get started. If you can make your way to the Senate chamber. Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Chang, Daly, Dodd, Durazo, Galgiani, Glazer, Gonzalez, Grove, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Hurtado, Jackson, Jones, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Moorlach, Morrell, Nielsen, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Umberg, Wykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
A quorum is present. Would the members and our guests be on the rail and in the gallery, please rise. We will be led in prayer this morning by our chaplain, Sister Michelle Gorman, after which, please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator Gonzalez.
Let us be centered in God's presence. On this Valentine's Day, I offer the following poem by Rumi. It's called Relationship Booster. You can let me know if it works. Here is a relationship booster that is guaranteed to work. Every time your spouse or significant other says something stupid, make your eyes light up as if you had just heard something brilliant. So gracious God, source of all love, we trust that your eyes light up at the very thought of each one of us. Amen.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was great. You too. Good morning, members. Happy Valentine's Day. Let us always remember that love always wins. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Motions, resolutions, and notices. Without objection, the Senate journals for February 10th through the 14th, 2020 will be approved as corrected by the Minute Clerk. Introduction of first reading and bills will be deemed read. We will move on to the consideration of the daily file, Senate third reading. We have two items today. We will start with item eight. Senator Jackson, are you prepared? If I can ask those in front of Senator Jackson's desk to disperse, that would be great. Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 81 by Senator Jackson, relative to California Court Reporting and Captioning Week.
Senator Jackson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day. It's actually a fitting day that we honor our court reporters, the overwhelming majority of whom are women, frequently women who are either the sole breadwinner or the primary breadwinner of their families. This is a profession that allows them some flexibility so that they're able to work once the lights are out, the kids are in bed, hopefully asleep. But it's a critically important function for our courts as well. And they are often overlooked and clearly underappreciated as part of the legal profession. It is no exaggeration to say, though, that without them, the fair, effective, and impartial administration of justice would be impossible. Justice can often fall, if you will, or turn on the utterance of a single word. As every litigator worth her salt, oh, and a few of them who are worth his salt, will tell you, court reporters just don't take dictation. They manage a deposition or intervene in a court hearing to ensure the accuracy and the faithfulness of a record. They have to study technical jargon, from physics to medicine to chemistry to science. They have to be able to read patents and pleadings to ensure they get down exactly the right word based on context and meaning. They organize discussions and colloquies to ensure readability and usefulness. They are the key to an accurate record so that justice can be served. They are guardians of the record. They ensure it's developed neutrally and fairly as possible. So please join me in celebrating our court reporters and captioners by voting aye for SCR 81.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Senator Gonzalez.
Thank you, Madam President, and I want to thank my colleague from Santa Barbara for bringing this forward, and I too also want to stand in support of this item. Today there are more than 415 court reporters employed by the court in Los Angeles County, and as we know, it is a very female-dominated profession. This job has been one that affords women in the profession the ability to have a stable income and earn enough support for their family and their children, as well as advancing their careers and education. And I'm happy to support this resolution, and I will continue to work to ensure that court reporters in my community and all over California have the proper resources with continued education and fair compensation. I also respectfully ask for the aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Gonzalez. Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Madam President. I also rise in support of SCR 81. Many court reporters are independent contractors who work out of their homes, as was noted. Their jobs can be done remotely after the kids are asleep. So a stenograph, I looked it up, costs $3,995, but an employee cannot deduct unreimbursed business expenses. So for our court reporters, I hope this year we can find a balance or a resolution to their income tax situation as we continue to debate common law employee versus independent contractor. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Morlock. Senator Monning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also want to stand in support of this resolution and recognition on Stenographer's Day. I also want to acknowledge a stenographer who works with us in Senate Rules Committee, Ina LeBlanc, who is present at every Rules Committee and does this amazing job of capturing sometimes fast-talking people that don't express themselves clearly always, and she keeps pace and captures every step. Just a shout-out to our in-house stenographer, Ina LeBlanc. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Monning. We do appreciate Ina. Members, any further discussion or debate? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Jackson, would you like to close?
Yes, thank you. And I am reminded the closer you get to the justice system, the more you appreciate the great work that these people do. And certainly here, in order to create an accurate record, we can argue about independent contractor versus employee at some other time. Today, I believe, is the time that we should celebrate this extraordinary group of people who are dedicated to making sure that justice is served throughout our state. And with that, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Archuleta.
Aye.
Atkins.
Aye.
Bates. Bell.
Aye.
Borges.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Caballero.
Aye.
Chang.
Aye.
Daly.
Aye.
Dodd.
Aye.
Durazo.
Aye.
Galgiani.
Aye.
Glazer.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Grove.
Aye.
Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Wesso.
Aye.
Hurtado.
Aye.
Jackson.
Aye.
Jones. Leyva.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Mitchell. Monning.
Aye.
Moorlach.
Aye.
Morrell. Nielsen.
Aye.
Pan.
Aye.
Portantino.
Aye.
Roth.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Skinner. Stern.
Aye.
Umberg.
Aye.
Wykowski.
Aye.
Wiener.
Aye.
Wilk.
Aye.
Please call the absent members.
Allen.
34.
Aye. Bates. Jones. Mitchell. Morrell. Skinner.
Ayes 34, no 0. The resolution is adopted. Members, we're moving to file item number 10. Senator Rubio. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Resolution 75 by Senator Rubio, relative to Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month.
Senator Rubio.
Thank you. Good morning, President and members. Today I'm proud to present SR 75, which is a Women's Caucus resolution that proclaims February 2020 as Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. I'd also like to thank the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence for their continuous collaboration, highlighting these important issues of dating violence, which affects people of all backgrounds. In fact, statistics show that each year an estimated 1 in 10 high school student is physically hurt on purpose by a partner. In addition, 1 in 11 female teens, 1 in 15 male teens in 2019 reported experiencing physical violence. This is unacceptable and must change. As a personal note, I used to teach elementary school level, and what I think parents sometimes don't realize, and some of my colleagues, and I want to make sure that everyone hears this, I was a fourth grade teacher, and in fourth grade, I would see my 8-9-year-olds pushing each other, yelling at each other, and it's really difficult to understand that at that age, they're already picking up habits that we want to change. I would like to encourage parents to ask their children if they've ever been yelled at, pushed, manipulated. I used to see it all the time. And it's a cycle that we have to try and break early on. It will only continue and get worse. So I encourage all of you here to encourage your constituents to also to ask their not only their teenagers, but their young children as well. We have a moral and civic obligation to change this. And we must do everything we can to empower our youth and prevent sexual and dating violence from happening. This includes uplifting those who have experienced violence so that they may heal and move forward. We must continue to encourage our youth to embrace and practice healthy relationships with their partners. And it's never okay to be told who to hang out with. It's never okay for your phone to be taken away. It's never okay to tell you if you can see your family. So I encourage all of you to support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rubio. Members, any discussion or debate? Seeing and hearing none, members, is there any objection to using a unanimous roll call? Seeing and hearing none, ayes 34, no 0. The resolution is adopted. Members, we are going to move to the special consent calendar. Does anyone have anything they would like to have removed before we vote on the special consent calendar? Okay, Mr. Secretary, please read.
Assembly Concurrent Resolution 141, Assembly Concurrent Resolution 145.
Thank you. Members, is there any objection to using a unanimous roll call? Seeing and hearing none, ayes 34, no 0. The consent calendar is adopted. We are now returning to resolutions, motions and resolutions. This is the appropriate time for adjourned memories. Senator Pan.
Thank you, Madam President, Senators. Today I rise to adjourn in memory of Pastor Itasker Hollins, Sr. Pastor Hollins earned degrees at the Sacramento City College and from the School of Business Administration at California State University, Sacramento. He married his wife, Julia Hollins, in 1957, and they've had three daughters and one son. In 1976, Elder and Sister Hollins purchased and rehabilitated and remodeled 3939 Broadway to become All Nations Church in the heart of the Oak Park community. With the help of membership and friends, 2 years later, 1978, All Nations Church was paid in full and a mortgage burning ceremony was held. As envisioned and directed by Pastor Hollins, All Nations Church developed and implemented various programs to serve the membership and the Oak Park community. These programs have included a weekly food bank, annual home buyer seminar, various financial classes, jail and prison outreach programs, yearly prostate and breast cancer seminars, computer and internet training classes, student study and tutoring programs, and summer youth programs for at-risk youth. You can see a very important and critical part of this community. Pastor Hollins was a strong community leader who will be greatly missed. He is survived by his wife, Julia Hollins, son, Itasker Hollins Jr., daughters, Judith Hollins Gilroy, Diane Hollins Gunning, Nancy Crawley, and four grandchildren. Please join me in adjourning in his memory. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Please be sure to bring his name forward so he can be properly memorialized. Senator Hill.
Thank you, Madam President and colleagues. It is with sadness that I rise to adjourn in memory of James P. Fox, a lifelong resident of San Mateo County who served as the county's district attorney for 28 years. Jim was highly respected in his profession and in our community, and he was beloved. Perhaps it may seem rare that the top prosecutor for a county is a beloved individual, but anyone who knew him knows this was true. That's because Jim was devoted not only to law and order, he also loved justice and fairness. Jim dedicated a lifetime to their pursuit, and he understood that upholding justice and fairness sometimes meant that you would stand alone. A quarter century ago, he was the only elected district attorney in our state to oppose the 1994 enactment of the three strikes law. Many called him courageous, but it was not a surprising move by a man who once said it is important to do the right thing for the right reasons. A native of Half Moon Bay, Jim decided when he was only 8 to make law his career. He graduated from Sarah High School on the peninsula and worked his way through college by taking odd jobs. Jim earned his college and law degree from the University of San Francisco, and he got his first job as a deputy district attorney for San Mateo County. He also spent some time in private practice and served as Half Moon Bay's city attorney. Jim ran for county district attorney in 1982 and won. And he won again and won again and again, serving a total of 7 terms. Jim also held several leadership roles on local, state, and national levels, including the California and National District Attorneys Association and the California State Bar. All the while, Jim was just as much a man of the law as he was a man of and for his family. He treasured the time he spent with his wife, Bonnie, their children, Christine, Tim, and Brian, their spouses, and his grandchildren. Jim passed away on January 9th. He was 75. In addition to his wife, children, and their families, Jim is survived by his brother, Michael. He also is remembered by colleagues, friends, and generations of Sarah and USF students, whom he inspired in his visits and talks at the campuses. Please join me in honoring James P. Fox by adjourning in his memory. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hill. Please bring his name forward as well. Senator Gonzalez.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise today to adjourn in memory of Gene Lentzner. He was born April 17, 1922 in St. Louis, where his parents moved 2 decades prior to escape Eastern Europe issues. Gene passed away at 97, February 2nd, 2020. Gene was a legendary Long Beach civil rights leader who advocated for equality, inclusion, and diversity. He made a huge impact in our city, actively fighting against racism, discrimination, and bigotry. Prior to his time in Long Beach, Gene served in the U.S. Army during World War II. Because of his poor eyesight, Gene actually memorized the eye chart to make sure he was accepted. He spent 3 years in the combat engineers and cavalry reconnaissance, mostly overseas, including during the Normandy invasion. He later moved to Long Beach, where he bought a women's clothing store on Pine Avenue in downtown Long Beach. He married his wife, Anne, on September 2nd, 1951. And with his brother, Gordon, they built their first store into a successful chain of 26 stores in Southern California and started getting involved in community fairs as a volunteer. After selling his business for more than 40 years, he began a second career as a community leader fighting for civil rights. He joined the National Conference of Christians and Jews, which eventually became the California Conference for Equality and Justice, CCEJ. He was no stranger to discrimination and often told a story that he could not rent apartments in Long Beach simply because of his faith. This inspired him to continue fighting for equality and rights for all. He founded the Interfaith Intercultural Breakfast of the CCEJ 30 years ago and helped fulfill their mission to fight bigotry, prejudice, discrimination, and equality. He will sorely be missed here in Long Beach and across the state. He's survived by Ann Letzner, his wife of 68 years, brother Gordon, sons Alan and Jay, grandson David, nephew Joel, and their children, Addie, Sadie, and Maisie, and niece, Julie. He will sorely be missed, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Gonzalez. Please bring his name forward so he may be properly memorialized. Senator Jackson.
Thank you, Madam President, colleagues. I rise to commemorate the extraordinary life of part-time Santa Barbara resident and great movie icon, Kirk Douglas. Kirk lived a fantastically long and meaningful life. He died recently at the age of 103. Most of you here will remember Kirk Douglas as the father of Michael Douglas. But actually, Kirk Douglas was an extraordinary star in his own right. In fact, one of the last of the legend of leading Hollywood men, the Burt Lancasters, the Gregory Pecks, and so many others. He was the last to survive that era of the great Hollywood star. He was born in a very, very poor Jewish family in New Amsterdam, New York. He worked in over 40 different jobs by the time he had finished college. He went into the military and served, was injured, came to Hollywood, and found his place, and was an actor of compelling charisma for his day, known for that dimple in his chin, known for some extraordinary films he made where he played heroes and the bad guy, but always with a certain compelling quality to it that made him, again, one of the great stars of Hollywood. He was also a very independent guy, and he started his own independent film company. And from that company, he produced and starred in a film called Spartacus, which, if you haven't seen it, I would urge you to do so. It was one of the great films of all time, won the Academy Award in the 1950s. He also, in the course of that film, revealed who the writer was. The writer was a man named Dalton Trumbo. This was during the 50s and 60s, during the McCarthy era, when some of the great writers and talents of Hollywood were blackballed because they were believed to be communists. And he actually had the courage to let Hollywood and the world know that Dalton Trumbo had written this screenplay. And it was really created quite a furor, because This was a period of time when we had that Red Scare in the United States. So if we think the 50s are an era that we want to go back to, I suggest that we think twice about that. But Kirk Douglas didn't think twice about it. He was out there. He was a man of extraordinary philanthropy. He and his wife created a number of entities for the poor. He also himself was nominated 3 times for Academy Awards and founded, as I mentioned, a number of philanthropies. He and his wife, Ann Douglas, created the Center for Homeless Women to provide drug and alcohol addiction treatment and services, provided opportunities for poor kids like he had been himself. But as an example of the great American dream, the era of Hollywood as it has never been known since, I would like to ask us all to adjourn in the memory of quite a star, Kirk Douglas. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Please bring his name forward as well so he can be properly memorialized. Senator Rubio.
Thank you, Madam President. Today I rise to adjourn in memory of David Perez, former city of industry mayor who served for 11 years. He was elected into office in 2001 and served until 2012 when he stepped down due to health-related issues. David was born and raised in the city of industry and dedicated to building up his community and building up the aging infrastructure, but focusing on also job creation. He was an entrepreneur and devoted countless hours to a variety of nonprofit organizations, including Amani Boys and Girls Club, the Gabriel Foundation, and he was also a founding member of the industry's Sheriff Station Youth Activity Leagues. He really cared about his community, our youth, and supporting service clubs. David is survived by his wife, Shirley, and his presence will be missed. Please join me in closing on his behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rubio. Please bring his name forward so he too can be properly memorialized. Senator Portantino.
Thank you, Madam President and colleagues. Today I rise in honor of the life of Robert Gorski. Mr. Gorski passed away about 2 weeks ago. He was born in Ohio on September 26, 1949. Robert was a leader in the disability rights advocacy community, improving accessibility for Pasadena and helping implement the Americans with Disability Act, which passed in 1990. Accessibility was a personal journey and a passion for Robert, because when he was a child, he was diagnosed with polio, which left him wheelchair bound for his entire life. Robert joined the city of Pasadena's disability team in 1989, hired as an accessibility issues coordinator. He advocated and improved for curbs, crosswalks, building entrances, provided accessible parking spaces and assistive listening services. He made Pasadena more accommodating to all bodies and lives. He was decades ahead of his time. Robert worked and reached out not just to help the city, but we've all been to the Rose Bowl. He helped make the Rose Bowl ADA accessible, as well as voting booths. It's important that everyone has access to a voting booth. Through Robert, Pasadena was honored in 2005 by the National Council on Disabilities as one of the most accessible cities in the country. May we continue to serve in the words that Robert used to use all the time, in liberty, justice, and access for all. My deepest condolences to the Gorski family. We wish them well at this time of grief, and thank you, colleagues, for adjourning in his memory.
Thank you, Senator Portantino. Please bring his name forward so he can be properly memorialized. Members, if there is no further business, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Thank you, Madam President. To my colleagues, a very happy Valentine's Day. It is early. Hopefully you'll get home to be with your family, your loved ones. We'll see you on Tuesday, because Monday is a holiday. So Tuesday, February 18th at 2 p.m.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. The Senate will be in recess until 3:30, at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We will reconvene Tuesday at 2 p.m. Have a great day, members.